listening to the Pine Room Podcast, but you don't just have to listen to the podcast. We have some other stuff out there too, like Bettor's Last Stand, our sports betting show covering all things sports and betting. Or Soup and Stuff, where Soup sits down with business owners, athletes, and other professionals for good conversation. Or, if you want to listen to us live, you can tune into The Watchdog, FM 98.1 or AM 1600. Or you can listen live online at thewatchdognetwork.com. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast. The Pine Room Studios is happy to present the first annual North Atlantic Beer Mile in partnership with Waterfront Hall in Wheeling, West Virginia. Join us May 4th for Waterfront Fest for a day of beer, music, and fun. From retail vendors, live band performances, pre- and race-time DJs, and of course, the North Atlantic Beer Mile, brought to you by the Pine Room Studios. A challenge of gastric fortitude, endurance, and speed, this event is a mile-long foot race broken into four quarter miles. Before the first and after each subsequent quarter mile, competitors are tasked to drink a 10-ounce beer before continuing to the next quarter mile. In total, four beers, four quarter miles, one epic race. You can run, walk, solo, and relay, all at Waterfront Fest, May 4th, 2024. All right, hello everyone. Welcome into the Pine Room Podcast, episode 104. Soup is in the studio for the first time in a while. Soup's here probably since, or way before 100. Boy, it's been probably a good 20 episodes since you've been.
Oh, more than
that. When's the last time you've been on?
I don't know, man.
Was it up at your house or was it here?
It was in here before I left.
It was before a lot of this was up. A lot of this was up.
Well, hola, mi amigos.
I was gonna say, welcome back, Soupy. Yeah. Welcome back, yeah. Soupy.
All right, Soup.
Soup is home. You're home for a while.
Yeah, home for a while.
Till the next move.
We got a lot of big things coming up. This will be fun. Coming home at the right time.
Yeah. You're checking out the Pine Room Podcast, episode 104. You heard right before you came on here, before this episode, the North Atlantic Beer Mile. Pay no attention to when I say four beers, 4 miles. It's four beers, four quarter
Holy
miles.
Holy job. Four beers, yeah. 4 miles?
Yeah, so if you hear that and you think you have to run 4 miles, you definitely don't. Soup and I and Jarrett and Cooley ran like half of it the other day. We went down to the waterfront and we were filming a commercial for it. Get your tickets, waterfronthall.com/fest. But my calves and my
feet
hurt.
I just don't understand
so
what happened. When we ran it in North Carolina, I was actually flying. Like, felt great. We ran a quarter mile the other day at the Waterfront Fest or at the Waterfront Hall for a commercial. We were out of breath at a quarter mile.
That was a fucking mess.
For people that haven't seen pictures yet, the course is unbelievable. Going right from outside of the Waterfront Hall, north, right, Jump?
North up towards 12th Street.
Right.
South all the way back to West Banco.
You turn around at the stop sign. You run all the way south to West Banco. At the ticket office, you turn around and run north back to the front of Waterfront Hall.
Which is where the start line is.
And is that where your second beer is?
Down that second beer, and then you do it again.
Now, when you guys did that in Carolina, you guys did it as a team, not individuals.
No, we did individuals.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I didn't do it. I was the cameraman. And,
okay.
And I will say I probably did as much running.
More.
Because I was trying to catch up to them, get different camera angles.
And then you had to do Sammy's race.
Yeah, and then I was running after her. I was soaking wet. It was terrible. But it's a really good event, and like I said in the little ad read before this episode, check it out. Honestly, if you don't even want to come and race, it's $10 for three or four band performances. There are 16 retail vendors there that are going to be selling all kinds of stuff. There's a liquor tent which has tequila and bourbon.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, I forgot they showed us that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was that
the
was,
tent.
Yeah.
It looks
that's
like a big.
Be unreal.
No, Jeff. Go ahead, Job.
It looks like
sick.
A big like yurt. It's like a big teepee. Yeah. Tent with like a circus tent. It's humongous.
You know where that concrete pad is at the top of the steps from like where the port of the water is?
Yeah.
Down there at the very top, there's that huge concrete pad.
Yeah.
They're putting that tent there and putting the tequila in the bourbon there.
That's
it's going to be
badass.
Sick.
Jeff, that's up your alley.
That is, but I mean, it's going to be a long day.
Well, yeah. You know
what's
what?
A yurt?
A yurt is like
a
yurt.
How do you spell that, Job?
URT, I think. A yurt is like it's a tent that's. You can camp out in them. You can rent.
Oh, that's
them.
Exactly. Y-U-R-T.
Y-U-R-T.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it. That's exactly what it is.
Let me see.
I got educated today.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Oh, okay. It's a yurt, yeah.
I didn't even know that's what I've seen those before. I just didn't know
that. That's a good idea. Well, yeah. Didn't, was there something like that at the previous one you were at? I mean, I know
this is totally
that
was not our idea.
See, and the thing that's really cool about this event, the one we're putting on with Waterfront Hall, it's an all-day event. So, like, you go there, you can listen to music, you can watch a race, watch the bands, do the Kentucky Derby watch party, hang out, eat food. When we did the one in Greenville, it was a good event, but it was you get there, run the race, go home. Like, there was no...
Here's what I don't think people understand about the race. It is seriously one of the coolest and funniest things I have ever watched in my entire life. When these unbelievable athletes get out there and try to run a mile and get those four beers in their system, and they're a mess by like a quarter of a mile because they're not used to having the liquid in their system.
Yeah. I mean, Jarrett was in great shape when we went down and did it. Mm-hmm. Jarrett was in great shape. He was, you know, he lifts a lot, works out, runs. You get down there, if you can't chug beer, you're done. Ooh. It's over. You can't, it's not like you're running just a mile.
I can drink beer with the best of them, but I just don't.
I don't think anybody. Well, if you suck at chugging, I'm worse. So you guys wouldn't want me on the team.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, but you got good endurance because you walk all the time. So you'd be good. You'd be good on the.
But either way, I mean, if I start us off, I'm not. That chugging's going to be tough.
It is.
What are you expecting? Because you and Chris are more than likely going to be commentating at some point.
Oh yeah.
What are you guys expecting when you sit down and that first race goes?
We're going to talk about it.
That's what I'm most pumped about, because I'm anxious to see how people handle running a mile and drinking four beers, I guess. And like you said, probably some of the best athletes, and even you guys. I mean, you're in good shape, dude. Yeah.
It's going to be
fucking
hilarious.
Puking, right?
It's going to be hilarious. Yeah.
He acted at the end.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, he did at the end. His fiance did. She's in great shape. She got into the last lap, and she just let it rip.
Now, you blame that on having to chug.
Oh, yeah. Because you have all that carbonation in you. I mean, one beer to chug it is like sits in your stomach enough. Four, and down there it was 12 ounces, which is like that's a sanctioned beer mile event. Mm-hmm. You have to have 12. Our event isn't sanctioned, so we're bringing that down to 10 ounces, which is a little more reasonable to drink. We drank 9 ounces.
Was that 9 ounces at our practice commercial?
It was 9 ounces, yeah.
Look, we're in trouble, man. People are in trouble.
But what's the breakdown? What's the breakdown on sanction and not sanction? Like, what does it mean?
There's an official like beer mile committee across the country.
Really?
And there's 12 ounces as an official race.
If you look at it, if you Google it, you can find YouTube videos of them doing commentation. Commentation? Is that what it is?
Yeah, they're commentary.
Commentary.
It sounded good.
I'm tired.
It sounded really good.
But they're doing commentary on it. They do it actually at those events. They have an actual track as if like one where you do like a 400 meter or whatever, like for an actual event. They do it there, and they have bottles of beer. The runner has to open the bottle, chug the beer, and then put the bottle down and go. And they actually have a 10-yard span where they can walk and drink at the same time. But at this event, it was just drink and then sit it down and run. The actual, like, legit ones in the big event is they take all the winners from all over the country and then bring them together and do, like, a big mega beer mile. Jeez. It's crazy. And
It's really crazy. Did you... Have you ever heard of it, Jeff?
Until these cats went, no.
I didn't either.
Tell you this much. I can understand if it's a little bit more regulated, chugging a bottled beer is way harder than chugging a can
way
of beer.
Harder.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Comes out slower. You got to breathe more. That's what people don't understand this. They are going to have to – you cannot breathe when you're trying to drink that second and third beer. And by the time you get to the fourth one, it's just all mental.
So
like you can either push through or you're in trouble.
You threw up, but that was after four beers?
Four beers and
He finished the race and then started.
It was about 2 minutes after the race too, so it wasn't even like immediate. I just laid there and I was a mess.
I bet people think like, oh my God, this would be easy. I guarantee that's the thought process.
That's who I want to run.
I told my dad when we were, you know, running it as a tester and for the commercial, that's what I want. I want tough guys to come there 100%. Thinking they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then on that second lap, they're going to understand that this shit is not as easy as they think it is. I want to see vomit. I want to see I want to have like a wall of vomiters. Like you have to, if you vomit, you have to take a picture with a sign that says "I vomited."
Oh, that's a good idea. And actually, what we'll do is obviously this is the inaugural, and we're hopefully going to be able to keep it going.
Yeah.
What we'll do is we'll partner with an airline next year, and we'll get barf bags.
Yeah, exactly. Hand that out to every contestant.
I like that.
Yeah, you can, but it's a really cool event. You know, we're putting money to charity afterwards. When we get, you know, after the event, we're gonna, you know, pull some of the money together, give it to charity. You can walk it too. So there's not a sanctioned heat for walkers. So if you want to walk it, you can just come and have fun. It's not as we make it sound like it's serious talking about it, but it's not at all. You can come and just fuck around and you know, drink and take as much time as you want. The limit is 25 minutes though. You can't like crawl. So you gotta have some sort of urgency behind you. But you can do a solo or a relay. It's super fun. I would say if you want to, just get three friends to come down. You cut the price in half almost. You get all the stuff that I just talked about. You know, DJ, mm-hmm. bands. We're going to fire a cannon off. I mean, that's worth $10 too, right? In itself if you don't even want to race. But it's super fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, and we're commentating it. So
you're only disappointed because the cannon's not loaded.
Yeah, like there should be a target in the river,
right? And
that
we
then
see
blows
a big
up.
Explosion,
yeah,
and water,
big carp,
like hit an old
big carp.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah. So we got all kinds of cool stuff they're doing. We got a color guard, national anthem. It's gonna be like to the nines. So and the cool thing about it is too, I know we talk about like bums in this area and people that like, especially like in the Italian Fest when there's just like the dregs of humanity come out. This event is fenced off, and you can't get in unless you have a ticket.
Kind of like the Brew Fest.
Exactly. It's $10 for a ticket if you don't want to race, which is well worth the price. Mm-hmm. Come out, hang out, and have fun. It's fenced off, so you can't get in if you don't have a ticket. So that means no bums can get in and ruin the fun. So
no riffraff.
And there's police there. The Wheeling PD is going to be there, you know, keeping watch on things. There's EMS. This is the legit event.
So I thought what was really cool with that last meeting with Dan and Ian and all of them is that they had to order 9 Port-a-Johns, and the reason why is because the city of Wheeling's expecting 900 people to be at the festival.
Yeah.
So that's why I was, because you have to have one Port-a-John for every 100 people.
Oh, wow.
So that's what,
is that what that is?
That's what they're, they're forecasting, like, hey, let's get 9. We think there's going to be about 900.
Yeah.
So if we're thinking that, I would love for 1,000 people to be there. I think that would be so cool.
Oh, my God, that would be so
cool. To say, hey, there was 1,000 people. Maybe we only get 100 runners, or maybe it ends up being 150. But if we can get 400 people to watch that first race, and then maybe a little trickle more in, and now there's 500 people for the 3 o'clock race, and then it just keeps growing by the time those relays happen at the end. I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah, you can't register at the event, at least not yet. You can't register at the event, so you have to register beforehand. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to tally up, you know, heat numbers and T-shirts and bibs and stuff like that. So you have to register online at waterfronthall.com/fest. Just do it. Come out. Come on. Yeah. You got nothing to do.
And you know, for $10 too, like you said, even if you don't want to participate, come down and there's all kind of food trucks and vendors, right? You come
down
there.
It's a no-brainer.
And
it's a
you're getting a ton of entertainment.
Hell yeah.
Good bands. I mean,
you get to watch a beer mile where guys are going to vomit and puke, and then you get to watch 4 bands, DJ.
The Derby.
Do you think that, is it just based off, I know there's no history to this beer mile. Is it just based off of experience you think they say 900?
Yeah, that's what I think they're expecting with like prior festivals. Probably they can calculate stuff from the Brew Fest, like the Italian Fest. This being the first festival, I think they know will probably grab an extra like 150 people because people just want to see what it is. So I would say that number is probably closer to like 650, 700, but then they're expecting random.
Dude,
like,
that is so cool. Yeah, I'm super jacked up for this.
I thought it was sick. I think the busiest time is going to be like that. If I had to guess, that like 5:30, that 5:30 to like 8 range, like after the race is over and people really come in to listen to the music and stuff.
Agree.
But I can't wait to see all the people run this race.
Yeah.
Well, Soup, do you know what is the history of the beer mile? Is it a regional thing, or do you know? Has it been a thing for a long time?
I looked up the website, and I think it was just guys that were like that were just messing around and wanted to do it, and then they started hosting and inviting people from all over the place or all over the country, and they did it in one area, and then other people wanted to do it and get involved, and it just slowly branched out.
But when you guys did it, you just happened to be down there. Like, you didn't go down there for that.
We
did.
He lived down there, but he invited us down to race in that event.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it was cool.
Here you go. On a windy Thursday in 1954, Roger Bannister ran a beerless mile in under 4 minutes, shattering a widely believed barrier.
Jeez Louise.
That's unbelievable. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, so that guy broke the all-time mile record. This isn't for the beer mile. I thought this said under 4 minutes that this guy ran a beer mile.
Dude, that's like a gazelle. Jesus.
I thought I've heard about that guy because people thought that the human body couldn't get under 5 minutes, and he broke that. Mm-hmm. And
how many people were for Carolina?
70.
I'd probably say, yeah, close to that, 70 people.
70, yeah.
Which was surprising to me, because I think this area would bring a bigger crowd. Because the way that I've seen the Brew Fest that I've seen, the Italian Fest in general, obviously you don't have to pay for the Italian Fest, but just like every festival that I've been to in Wheeling is just packed.
And
to
that
the
setting down there is really nice. Yeah. If we get a nice day, it's going to be beautiful down there.
We have our boy Dave Schmelick. He's doing drone video for us.
Which is gonna be super cool.
Next year, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff to show people about this event. We're doing a commercial with him soon. He's an Emmy winning videographer, so he's definitely gonna catch some cool stuff. So if you want to come, you'll get your picture taken, get some video from you. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, and I hope we do get an awesome turnout. People just want, because how many times, Jeff, you and I, or whomever, you go to a Italian Fest, Brew Fest, whatever, and you run into people you hadn't seen in a while. And then you just start bullshitting and you tell stories. It's just a camaraderie thing, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah.
Are you a big festival guy? Do you like festivals?
I don't mind them. The Brew Fest was awesome. That was the only time I've been to that was last year, but the Blues Fest, yeah.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that are all fenced off and you know, you don't have riffraff and all that.
I think we all bitch about this area and talk about there's nothing to do. At the end of the day, it's depending on what you want to do. If you want to take advantage of the shit, there's always things to do. The city tries to do a really nice job. That's number one. And I agree. Like, I got de-virginized on two things this year. The Brew Fest was my first time, which I'll be honest with you, that was a blast. Obviously, we had selfish reasons because obviously we had a little
winner chicken dinner.
We had a little steak in that. And then the other thing was Dancing with the Stars. Obviously, you guys know what you're doing. I'll hands down be back to that event too. That shit was awesome, man.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a fact that I learned from Josh Blakemore, who is part of the, I'm not sure exactly his actual title, but he's involved with the city. And he told us that this year is for, I think, could be wrong on this, that every weekend in the summer there's something going on.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So there's like every Saturday and Sunday for like every week in
the
summer.
Yeah, it's like almost 4 months straight.
There is something going on every weekend.
We had two weekends to choose for the beer mile.
Really?
And then we chose the fourth. No, excuse me. We had the 11th or something like that selected first, and there was something already going on, so we had to switch to the 4th.
Mm-hmm. And that all worked out because obviously your ties to the May the 4th kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think the Derby, I mean, I'm a big Derby guy, so I think that's going to – and getting a crowd to watch the big screen when people have a little scratch, that's going to be a blast in itself.
Yeah, it should be.
So it's going to be good stuff.
Well, and you know, and another thing, not the revival, but when you had Denny Magruder on, was that last Friday?
Yeah, that was
You guys were talking about the Capitol, the theater.
Yeah.
I mean, you go on that website. I mean, they have all kind of events down there now. Mm-hmm. Like you said, in all different types of it appeals to a bunch of different age segments and everything. Older people, young kids. I love that place.
I went to
beautiful.
It really is.
The only other time I was in
it's
there,
it's even better, Jeff, when you go and you have your ticket with you.
Helps the cause. It really does help the cause.
Jeff, I forgot about that.
I was motherfucking. Wow. I was motherfucking the world that night, man.
I forgot
so
about
pissed.
This.
What was that? What was the event?
That was Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
All
what right. an idiot. Total idiot.
I forgot about that.
Cost me. I forget what it cost me to get in. Not that that's a big deal, but it cost me money to get in when I had a free ticket.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Sorry to bring that up.
No, it was actually. Hey, you know. Well deserved. Well deserved.
Yes. Yeah, the Capitol Theater. I went down with Aunt Kim. Actually, we watched before I had been down there for the Dancing with the Stars. I had never been in the Capitol, and you go in there and it's the first time. First time I was in there is probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Oh wow. Okay.
And I went in for a symphony. I think it was like a Disney movie symphony that every like movie they would do a song for. Like they would move through. I can't remember what it was. It might have just been cinematography because there was the Star Wars theme that they did, and it was unbelievable. The orchestra was unbelievable. Then we went to Steve-O. nice. When he came to town.
Yeah.
Which our ears just went to the other side.
That.
I'll fix it here in a second. Right. But that's weird.
It is weird.
It's really weird. Here, keep talking while I fix it.
I went and saw Fiddler on the Roof with my grandma like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I can't remember. The plays are awesome.
And I don't mind doing different stuff like that. People say, "Oh, that why would you go?" Like it doesn't always have to be just a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
You know, plays and
we're good. No, it went out again.
No, my left is.
Well, Chris, to piggyback, there we go. To piggyback off of that, you know, there's something to say about being cultured.
Yes.
Yeah. And to be able to appreciate different, venues, genres, whatever you want to. I mean, we're all sports homers. I mean, so at the end of the day, we all become so focused on sports, but to be able to do something different, and Dancing with the Stars is a great example of that. I mean, at the end of the day,
I'll be back. I can't wait.
We got to be able to, I don't want to say dressed up, but I mean, obviously, I wasn't in sweatpants that night.
It did feel good to dress up a little bit. And you know, another thing, I at least for me anyway, that far exceeded any expectation.
Oh, without a doubt.
And the crowd was into it. And those girls screaming, and even if you weren't a good dancer out there, you know, they were getting applause and everything. You just, I appreciate anyone who went out there to do that.
I
know you were telling that story, but yeah, you're right though, Jeff. Just being cultured and doing different things.
So if people make fun of that, then you're a fucking idiot.
You know, it's something that's really cool. And the mayor said this recently. He came on the show. He talked about his vision for the city. Whatever you believe in, if you're from here, you should want this place to do well,
right?
Yes. Whether no matter where you live or whatever's going on. But he said, for example, Waterfront Hall. If you're Waterfront Hall, you should want 3 more businesses just like that to open up to the left of you, to the right of you, and right down the street. Because that's just going to bring even more people from around the tri-state area here. So when other businesses, bars, breweries, whatever, get upset about all this stuff, like, hey, oh, they're building a new restaurant there, let's never support them. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And actually, you know what's funny about that? Highlands is a great example of that. And I'll be honest, you probably wasn't smart enough to figure it out. People always worried about... The more you even like people are like, why they keep on bringing restaurants? Well, that's the whole goal. The whole goal is you want people to come up to be and let the best man win at the end of the day, right? So it's no different to the Waterfront.
It's the same. It works the same way no matter how big your market is, right? You have McDonald's, you have Wendy's, you have Burger King, you have Subway, right? One of them is making $1 billion. The next one might be making $800 million, but guess what? Everyone gets a piece of the pie.
I would agree.
You know what I mean? It works the same way, right? We only have 25,000 people in our city. But if you take a Waterfront Hall, which is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I cannot wait for people to see it. I have so many friends that haven't been there yet. If you take Waterfront Hall and then you build something with a different name, almost identical, 100 feet away to the right of it, it's just going to bring more people here.
Well, we had the folks on from 304 Woodfire Pizza down that is the new tenant down in the Waterfront Hall. We had them on the radio and they were talking about the relationship that they have with Avenue Eats, who is also in that hall, who is a tenant, is great because they know Avenue Eats. If you're not familiar with the area, Avenue Eats is like one of the better burger joints that you could get here in the area. And they actually, their building had burnt down and they had found, they were in a truck a little bit. They were in a truck for a little while and now they're in Waterfront Hall. They said the good thing about that is Avenue Eats has a big following already. Woodfire Pizza has a big following already. So the only thing that can happen is both of them go in there and they both increase their following because each person is going to share from each of them. And I told them, they were talking about how great it was. And I said, being facetious, I said it's a horrible thing because every time I go in there, I don't know what to eat. I stand there for 25 minutes and try to gauge what I want to eat. But it's great, and I love seeing I love seeing all the new stuff that's coming to this city. Here's what's going on in the Capitol tonight.
I saw a truck down there.
Yeah. Celtic Woman.
The 20th anniversary tour
is going through. Celtic Woman.
They probably got some harps out there.
Is that live tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday. Today.
So, back to your conversation about the mayor I didn't get to listen to that, but the mayor saying that if you live here, how you should want the valley to do better. And I think we were all sitting around. I want to say we were at the Pine Room, and Nardoni started talking about how it's crazy how the area works. When you are the person that leaves the area, you make fun of the people that stay in the area. But it's never vice versa.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
No, that's a good point.
And I think Nardoni is who actually brought up that point, and it was a very valid point. Because I don't know, like you, like what you did, you were just trying to better yourself, get out of the area.
Look,
whatever
I'll tell
the case
you this,
might be.
I don't know what the future holds. We could pack up in 2 weeks and go head to, I don't know, Virginia, Arizona. But looking back, the reason you're successful is because where you come from. I mean, you had parents, 100%. A teacher, a coach, somebody helped you get to where you're at. So why not just give back and help out a little bit?
And that, I'm glad you brought that up because I remember in part of that presentation for the what was that?
Show of hands.
Yeah, and you were up there talking. You were getting emotional.
Oh, yeah.
I think you were talking about Wheeling, weren't you?
I mean,
and
come on. Like, if we...
I mean, a young kid to get that passionate about it, that's pretty
awesome.
When
we get to the point one day to where this can take care of our families. I mean, how do you not think like where you came from?
I have never been in the fact that this place is bad ever in my life.
Same
in 25
here, never.
Years, I've never looked at this place spitefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we have road issues? Yeah, of course we do.
We have a lot of issues.
But the point is, I never have felt unsafe in the place where I am. Rarely, like this flooding stuff that happens is very rare, and it's one of the only natural disasters that can possibly affect us. So we don't have to worry about tornadoes that come through. We don't have to worry about earthquakes. Don't have to worry about wildfires. And obviously, there's some happening in the lower part of the state, but that doesn't happen here. Mm-hmm. Feel safe. The population isn't immense, so takes you 50 minutes to get to work every day, depending on where you live. I mean, it's not like some rural abandoned neighborhood where there's six people and there's one
supermarket.
Yeah, and your biggest
store is like a Dollar General or something.
You have plenty of restaurants to go to. I mean, I even haven't been to all the restaurants that have recently opened up. I've been to Ellen Jack's that you go to a lot that you love. I haven't been to a lot of different places, and there are places that you come to love and enjoy. I don't understand, and part of Nick's point on that was I don't understand hating the area so much than leaving the area, and then you'll see people come home and take pictures at home and like, hey, I'm here at Generations having a great time. Well, you just left the area to get out of here. Now you're coming back for whenever
for
you want to have fun.
Grass is greener where you're not always on the other side. It's greener where you water it. Right?
I just think I don't have enough to complain. There wouldn't be enough in the cons chart for the area. There wouldn't be enough to put in the I can't I mean, is there a homeless issue? Sure. But that's everywhere. You're going to go, if you go to New York City, you don't think there's going to be 16 bums standing on the corner sleeping in the garbage? That's like, that's just a fact. We went to Seattle. It was awful.
Yeah, I've been
it's
there.
A shit
it was
show.
Awful.
Yeah. It was a shit show. You're
and
right.
People say, oh, the big city's great. You know, get to the big city. Get Los Angeles, if you ever look pictures of Los Angeles, I would love to go to Los Angeles and hang out there, but I don't want to live there for the rest of my life. It's just not a place I want to be.
Yeah, and Jeff, they talk about, well, California's a disaster anyway, but they talk about the how beautiful San Francisco used to be. Not still, but they just said it's just overrun with crime and homelessness and... there's homeless camps. It's disgusting.
I guess I just don't understand shade. At the end of the day, if it's what benefits you and if benefits you leaving the valley and you're going to prosper somewhere else, I'm going to support that. But at the end of the day, don't bust my balls because I chose to stay here and try to prosper in the town that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. I just don't. And I'll be honest, Nardoni brought up a good point. There's not a lot of fucking times that fucker brings up good points. That was one of them.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
I wish he would be good to talk about that because he has some heated opinions on that. And because there are many examples of people that have done exactly what we're talking about, and it's just not number one, it's not really fair, because if you've been successful enough to leave and go to a place that's bigger than where you're coming from, obviously you did well from wherever you came from,
and good for you.
Yeah,
100%.
And if you want to leave, it's not, I don't have any ill will to anybody that wants to get out of here. Go do whatever you want. I don't care. City's great.
But real quick though, so Kenneth, we'll go around the room. Is there a piece of you guys at all, though, that, and actually you can attest to this, that there is a piece of me, and I'm talking a very tiny piece, that it would be cool to go somewhere where you don't know a soul.
Oh, dude, it's sick.
Yeah, you don't know a soul. And I don't want to say, I don't need to start over. I mean, but I'm saying as in, I guess, quote unquote, to start over life and nobody knows you. There's an aspect of life
you
that
want to talk about.
Cool.
You want to talk about getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
There it is.
Like,
right?
Getting out of it is sick. It is, and I cannot wait to I don't know. I got to thank Sammy for that. I mean, that was sick to get to go
would
do that.
You wouldn't have done it on
no,
your own.
Oh my gosh, I would have never left. I'd been living with my. I would have stayed here, and now I. That's why I really hope one day we're in the position with all of this to get to get up and go. You know what I mean? And just keep traveling and take it and go for a little bit, and because it's sick.
Well, and,
yeah.
And how much do you think that benefited you?
I'm ten times the person I was a year and a half ago.
I respect
ago.
Exactly.
So what about you, Mr. Pavlik?
Oh, I think about that all the time, and I think now I probably would have never had the balls to do it when I was a lot younger. But and I was always not introvert, but it's quiet. But as I've gotten older and spent countless hours with Mark Delberg, who's never met a stranger.
Imagine that.
And watching him, and now I'm comfortable going up to strangers if I was in a bar or restaurant talking to people. Years ago, I remember when I used to have to work out of town up in Cleveland. I was probably in my mid to late 30s. I never had to do that before. Like, I wouldn't talk to a soul. But now, if in that position now, I'd be friends with everybody.
When we go to Ocean City, you blend right in. Doesn't like you made friends with that guy that I showed you a picture of. I think his name is Mark.
Yeah.
You guys kicked it off like you know each other.
I didn't
want to
make him mad. He was a big man.
Yeah.
But no, that's why you're my running mate
Cause, oh, you know, yeah.
But Jeff, no, I could do that now.
What about you, Jabber Jabber?
I've always wanted to. There's probably a way bigger part of me that has always wanted to go. Not that I have any disdain for where I am, because I love being here and being home. And sometimes they're weird. There's two parts of me. There's one part of me that wants to do big things and just keep going and like take every opportunity we can get and go do new things and try new things out. Then there's one part of me that all I want to do is have a 9-to-5 job at a supermarket, come home, watch TV, hang out with the wife and kids, and then go to bed, and then do it again the next day.
Simple.
But I will say, I really, 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 really would love to go for maybe a year at a time, 2 years, go do what he did somewhere else, just to see what it's like, see how I do.
Do you think you'd come back as often as Soup did?
Fuck no.
That was unbelievable.
Hell no.
Well, and you know, real quick, getting back to the city and people, you know, that'll talk shit. What, I guess everybody has different, what their goals or aspirations or what they want from a city, but what is it around here that we don't have?
I know.
Like, I mean, we got two malls, we got restaurants, you got Pirates and Penguins, Steelers an hour away, you got Cleveland, I mean, and we're stuck in, not stuck, but we're down in here kind of not isolated from, but we're our own little small town where we're safe. But if you want to get to the big city, we don't have far to go. So I mean, I don't know what the people that bitch the loudest, what this city doesn't have to offer.
I really love places like when we went down to Florida for a little bit. I do like the atmosphere. I hate the weather, but I like the atmosphere. I like being able to walk, you know, in the place that, you know, that up in Pittsburgh that, you know, Cooley just bought. I love the atmosphere of being able to come out of your house, walk, you know, 5 minutes, go get groceries, go get some, and then come back and come home. I love that. But I feel like if you're there all the time, all those novelties of going to, you know, to 15 bars
loses its significance.
Yeah, I feel like it just becomes exactly what you have here, which is you start to be blind to all the things that you actually have. Or if you're in an area like that, then it just gets boring because it's something you have all the time. I would never want to live in a city for 20 years. I couldn't do that. There's no
way.
Real,
like the hustle and bustle.
There's
and
no way. Because then not only, because the novelty of that would wear off and the annoyance of all the other shit would drive through
escalate
the roof.
For sure.
So I don't know.
I agree with you though, Chris. I do feel at the end of the day, and maybe it's a wheeling homer, I do feel like we got the best of both worlds. Yeah. I really do. I mean, it's nice. We get a taste of that big city life being an hour, 2 hours away.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all. But also I do get why people want to leave. If they're looking for growth, whether it be professionally or whatever the case might be, a big city life, once again, if that's you, that's you.
Oh,
good
yeah.
For you guys.
I just don't like the bashing of this city that you know,
do,
there's
man.
Nothing to
so
do.
So many people do that. Wow.
Yeah.
I told this to Dan and Ian at that meeting. This festival, when it's roped off, you're drinking out in those ropes, the race goes on, there's bands, it's going to feel like you're not in Wheeling for those six to 7 hours, and it's going to be sick. And it's then after the next day, it's going to be sick to say, hey, that was in Wheeling. Like, that was that
and
was
I do else. Think I do think that there are people behind the scenes that are working really hard to make, you know, this place nice. And I, you know, we see with the, especially with the Wheeling Heritage and people that are working down there, they just renovated that whole River City building, and they have a new gift shop down there. Did River City looks beautiful. Like, the road, I don't know when it's going to be done, but I think when the roads are done, I feel like it's going to be beautiful here. I feel like it is going to look unbelievable here. Are there a couple buildings that should probably either be knocked down or revamped? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, can you imagine all of Main Street nice and paved with beautiful sidewalks and new buildings going up and being and all the businesses booming? It's probably never going to be like what it was like in the 80s or, you know, back when it was mini Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
But,
long before that.
But
yeah.
Like being, getting somewhere, you know, close to that, I mean, I don't see it being that far away. I think it could happen. I think it could happen. And I think the city, I think there's some good things going on, and it's kind of exciting to see. And I think Waterfront Hall is one step in the right direction.
They're
going to
be, they'll be there for the next 20 or 30 years.
Easily.
Yeah, it'll be sick.
Easily.
You know, do they have any plans, like, any new like hotels or anything downtown?
Yeah, I think I've heard
that's the one thing we don't really have.
Rambles of the buildings. So if you're about to walk into DeCarlos, the buildings to the left of it, there's like a barber shop. There's a couple other things there about them knocking that down and building something there. Right,
that
on
makes
that
sense
corner.
Though,
so,
right there. 100% that
but
makes
that's
sense.
That's all I know. And when the mayor was on, he said, I'm working on something that I'm going to announce for the city, but I can't say yet. So hopefully that's really
because
cool.
Because, you know, and I think it'd be great for, and we don't really have it now, like the city of Charleston. If you come in from out of town, say someone wants to come up for the Mountain East Conference tournament and stay here, and they have a hotel, you could spend the whole 3 or 4 days here without even getting
your
car.
That's a good point.
You know, as if you had some hotels, we get some more restaurants. I love that. I love that. To just park, and then you can walk wherever you need to go.
Especially if you're close enough to, like, Market, or down on down at Center Market. Center Market's awesome. Absolutely love it down there. They got great shops. They just opened a new thrift store. You got all the restaurants down there. Tito's Sloppy Dogs, Coleman's. You got Market Vines, View 42, I think it's called. Got so many different places down there that you can have. Later Alligator. I just had dinner with Hannah down there. The candy shop.
We got to go to that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I heard you talk about that
it's
today.
It's beautiful. We went in there. Hannah bought. I bought. I spent like. Later Alligator is pretty. I mean, it's not like a. It's not like a McDonald's paycheck.
You're $17 to $30.
You're paying a good chunk, which not a knock on them, but you know, I paid probably. My bill was probably for two appetizers, two entrees. And aside, like,
wait, let me guess. This is at Later
Gator.
I thought you were talking about the candy.
No.
You had an appetizer candy. Yeah. Okay, that's kind of cool.
You were at that Later Gator
72. It was actually, you know what? You might be right. I think it was like 68. I think it was 68. I think you might be right on that because I think Hannah was like $12 short of spending as much as I did at dinner. At the candy store, she bought so much candy at
she was
the
like
candy
a little
store.
Kid, right?
Literally, a kid in the candy store. Yeah. She would see something and like grab something on the shelf and go, and grab another thing, go, and grab more stuff. Yeah, by the time we came out of there, we were trying all kinds of different stuff. She made what she called candy salad, and she put it in a bag and took it to work with it. It was just all kinds of different candy in a bag. Mm-hmm. But it's such a cool thing to be able to see a building like a business like that, which I've only seen in Pittsburgh, come down here and be successful, and it's been there for a while. And every time I go in, there's people getting all kinds of different shit down there. Probably not great for the local health, but who cares?
Whatever.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. I think it's really going in the right direction. And if you live in the city and you think it's have certain opinions, I'd love to hear them. I know we don't get a lot of comments on stuff, but I'd love to hear what other people think.
And we also have a reliable cab company now.
Yes,
too.
We do. We only partner with the best. That's how we do, right?
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
I
think
cab.
That's awesome. It is. I mean, you can walk to a lot of places down here, but if you were at the Bridge Tavern and you want to go down to Center Wheeling or Center Market and just call them, you're there in 5 minutes.
And I think it's
a nice
interesting
option to have.
I think it's interesting. I've seen, like, we've seen a lot of businesses come in and die quick. Mm-hmm. and which is kind of disheartening, especially like in our neck of the woods up in Warwood. Mm-hmm. Well, not those so much facts. You guys anymore, but us. Like mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of businesses die, but we got, you know, the Cheese Melt is now there, which is cool to have a restaurant that you can go sit down in. The Plaza needs some work. We need to get something in there in the Plaza. Which is just a little disappointing. But like seeing a business like Icy Cab come in, you see a couple cars to start, then they add more. Then you get the digital things on the top. Then you get more cars. You get bigger Icy Cab, and then later you see them every time you go everywhere.
And even the farther you go, they're out.
I love it. There's something about that I love. I love seeing those Icy Cabs. Mm-hmm. It's so cool to me that they have survived. I think it's so great.
I see them up in my neck of the woods all the time too, up in Wintersville, Steubenville,
yeah.
up there.
Oh yeah,
304-232-1313.
Yeah,
I got that
exactly.
loaded.
Backs.
Yeah.
Because what's the owner of Phil?
Phil,
I know
great
his,
guy.
His sister Tina, and we were talking, and she works for a tobacco company or something. We were at a trade show recently, and I was telling her about our association with them, and then she was showing me on the app or some, I don't know what was the news article, whatever it was, but showing me like how many rides they did in like 1 month. It was like 13,000.
Oh yeah,
holy wow.
yeah. He told us
and,
that,
and it was up from the previous. Month. I mean, so
yeah, Tate told us that great guy. Love Tate. He's worked with us on a couple things. He did the commercial with us.
Yeah.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. He told us that they have such an influx of rides that their call line gets busy sometime because they have such an influx of people trying to call. They don't have that answering machine because they would have so many messages that they couldn't keep up with it. But I think when we talked to him, it was like something around 11,000 rides. So they probably mm-hmm. are going up.
Is the best way to use them the app? Is that the way to go?
Yeah, I think it's the new Icy Cab app. They're really stressing it, and you can like add your information in, so you don't have mm-hmm. to like keep putting it in when you book mm-hmm. a ride. My mom and dad went from our house, which is like from our house to West Banco is like 12-13 minutes, mm-hmm. going at a decent pace. $6. $6
for a ride. That's unbelievable.
As opposed to $10,000 for a DUI.
Yeah.
yeah.
Sign me
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Sign me up for the ride.
100%.
Yeah, which we're trying to get them involved with the beer mile, because when you register for the beer mile, you have to check that you have a designated driver, or else you can't register, which is mm-hmm. I think a good thing
it's
for
a great
us to
thing.
Have. Yeah.
100%.
So we're trying to get them involved and have them, you know, be some kind of sponsor for that.
Well, you said something, Jeff, about unfortunately some businesses start and it just doesn't fly. I think it's twofold. I think unfortunately we're in an area that people don't like new stuff and they have a hard time buying mm-hmm. into, you know, diving into that. But second part is, and I'll piggyback, is getting people to work. Well, our boy Governor Jim Justice just started something. I think he's trying to put into legislation on unemployment, on how he's going to change on the way people do business, on trying to find jobs. So hopefully that will help the cause with the workforce and stuff like that, because a little bit too easy not to work nowadays.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps the cause.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wonder if that would change things if you made it a little harder not to work. Like if it would have to, because
you couldn't get a paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I asked Jarrett because we pulled into the Plaza and on Dollar General it says we accept EBT here. I didn't know what EBT meant. That means electronic benefit transaction
something.
Or something like
yeah,
that
yeah.
It's like your benefits from the government that you can use on a card.
Wasn't that basically almost like back in the day the food stamp program?
That's all it is.
Is that still a thing?
It's
EBT mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Well yeah. Here's a topic, just a way off the ball topic, but we were talking about I guess we weren't really talking about it before I came here.
Now the truth comes out.
Hopefully we clip this because I want to see the wrath of these people. I was watching this thing on, I know everybody, the word is like evil now, TikTok. I was watching these witches. Have you ever seen these witches on social media? They like teach you how to cast spells, and if you want to cast a hex on your boss, you can do it. And like if you like spit in a vial, burn it, and then like throw ash in the air or something, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, this guy didn't believe that they were real, and he like, just like me with ghosts, I'm like, there's no evidence for it, it's all bullshit, it's all phony just mm-hmm. bullshit. So he calls these witches out, sends them, like one lady said, if you send me a lock of your hair, I'll cast a spell on you and you'll see the effects within a month. So he sends his hair and the lady sends him a video doing the spell, nothing happens to him. And then he sends back a message about how nothing's happened to him, it's all bullshit, don't pay attention to him. These witches went nuts. Like, just sending him hate message, like burning letters with his name on it, like all kinds of horrible shit to this guy. And I just want to say, I think all of that is so much bullshit. That witch, number one, grow up. Number two, the one lady was saying, if you don't believe in magic, you're an idiot. Oh, okay. I'm the idiot. Yeah. You're sitting around pulling animal teeth out and casting a hex on your boss because you don't like him.
Right.
But I'm the idiot for believing that might be a little bit of a stretch.
Yes.
I think that stuff's so dumb, and it's the same thing that we talk about on the radio, too, with those televangelists. Like, what was that, Jim Baker?
Something Faye Baker. Tammy Faye Baker.
Jimmy Swaggart.
What, there's a, the
Ernest Angley.
What's the one that you ever see? The one that he got caught. He bought a private jet, and he was like saying he doesn't want to be caught like in a tube.
Yeah, that was such a new age guy, like the newer guy that's out of Texas.
Not the phony looking dude that looks like a paper
Joel
doll.
Osteen.
That he's a fucking dick. He is a dick.
And
these guys are millionaires.
Yeah. And actually, where he became, because my wife at one point in time actually didn't dislike him.
Right.
Where her hatred came in is when they had all those floodings down in Texas, they asked him to open up his church to allow people in, and he kiboshed.
Yeah. Did he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I wish no ill will on people, but like, and it's really sad though, because those people prey on people that are vulnerable. Like if your family member just passed away, or you broke your leg or had an amputation or something, or have some chronic illness, these people have nowhere left to turn, and they go to these televangelists, and you know, puts his hand on your head and you shake, and then you can walk again.
Right. I got the worst disease known to man, but that guy puts his hand on my head, says some kind of goofy prayer.
Now you can run a mile. You're
good to go.
And then I'm going to cut a check for a grand.
Yeah, right.
Those
venues are packed.
Oh, packed. Their congregations are through the roof. Yeah.
And I know everybody in this room is I mean, to some degree or the other, semi-religious. I know you. I mean, obviously went to Catholic school. You went to Catholic school. You guys, we go to church and stuff like that. I believe that there is a higher power out there, which I'm not saying there isn't with these televangelists. I think these televangelists don't think that. I think they know, or they are acting like, or I think they don't believe in what they're preaching, and they're just preaching it so that they can get these people's money, and which is horrible.
And they're great talkers.
They're great talkers.
They're
salesmen.
Yes.
Salesmen,
100%. So I made this example on the radio. Jim Baker, back when he was doing all his crazy shit, saying about, you know, the world was going to end, he heavily did this segment of shows where he was saying the world is going to end at this certain year, the apocalypse is coming, you got to prepare for it. So he's giving these sermons, and then like later through his trip of saying, you know, the world's ending, everybody's going to have to every man for himself, pray to God, he starts selling apocalypse bunker foods. Like he starts selling these Jim Baker buckets for they're like MREs that people can take into their survival shelters and eat. So not only is he preaching that the apocalypse is coming, he's also preaching that he's selling this new product for you so that you can take shelter and buy this for me for when the world ends.
Right, so he's going to be able to save you too.
Yes, he take all your money before the world ends. Of course, the world didn't end. He made a bunch of money off these Jim Baker buckets. You can still get them online for people that didn't open them up. But it's just the most disgusting thing. Anyway, the point being is, witches, you're full of shit. It's all bullshit. If Jared clips this, I hope he clips this. Put a hex on me. I want to be hexed. I want to make me bleed from my eyes. Make me vomit leeches, or let me turn into a toad or whatever.
Right.
It's all bullshit. Go ride a broom.
What's an MRE?
It's a military ration something. It's like a dried food that
do you eat it in preservative? A
yeah, you can.
You can eat in a yurt. Yeah. Oh, a yurt and MRE. Yeah, my God.
Yeah.
I come here to get educated. Fuck the talking. I come here to get educated. Right?
It's working well.
It is working, right?
I like yurt.
Yurt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yurt?
We'll be in a yurt on May 4th.
I know.
Right?
Did you guys ever have, and we talked about this over the weekend, about people who believe they're animals now? With all that stuff that going on?
You mean identify as something?
As a cat.
Yeah, no.
Which
an easy way to fix.
Wait, there's a name.
There's
a furry.
Furry.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an easy way to fix that.
Yeah,
it really is.
So
eliminate the weak.
Well, yes, here's exactly. The thing. We talked about this, and like, did you ever have any? Obviously, this is probably you definitely didn't. Anybody that was like that? I don't even know why I'm asking this because I know for a fact you didn't have this in school. We had girls in our class that would wear tails and.
You did in the public school when you were. Yeah. See, we didn't. Not yeah. yet, at least.
No. I'm not gonna. You did really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They truly thought they were animals.
They would wear a tail, like hooked to their belt with ears on, and they would walk around with their hands tucked to their body, and they would bark at you.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
2017, 2016.
Wow, I didn't think.
See, I didn't think it was that.
Not
thing
yet.
Yes,
yeah.
It absolutely was. Absolutely was. There was a girl. I'm not going to say her name. When I was in high school, she had a dead fox that she would carry around for her. Now I don't know whether it was just dead or it was taxidermied. Mm. She would carry it around with her, and somebody got a video of her with it on a swing set, pushing it on a swing set, and it was this dead fox that was all like dried up and on a swing because she believed she was a fox and she was like best friends with this taxidermy animal. And then I think she also pulled a knife on Nick, which I could be mixing that up with somebody else.
What did Nick say to her?
I know he was freaked out. He was terrified. Oh. He's terrified. And then the girl ended up getting in trouble, but
I'll be honest with you. We need to keep this going. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm like so confused about that. Like,
there was a specific lane of people, though, when back in high school, there was a specific lane of people that acted a certain way that, now, I don't know if there was something wrong with them. They had some sort of, you know, mental disability. Then obviously I'm not making fun of those people. But I know there are like people that are functioning human beings that acted the way that they acted, you know, with the ears and the you know, nose makeup and stuff like that. You didn't have any of that?
Not a single one. Not a single. Like, I mean, I went to school with from kindergarten to eighth grade. 20 to 25 kids a class. I mean, there's 160 people there. High school, over 200 people. Not a single.
What about goth? How about goths back in when you guys were in school?
We were in Catholic school my whole life, so we didn't see that. You know, people just wore their, you know, Catholic school uniform. So no, none of that stuff.
Yeah, how about that? You had to wear a new uniform to school every day, and we were in the same. Or you had to wear, you had to think about what you were wearing.
Yeah, I had to actually get dressed, which thinking back on it, I would have much rather worn a uniform.
Did you go to Central?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
It was nice.
Because so, if you
same
took a,
thing every if, single day, it was awesome.
If
it
you
was
took nice. A picture of me in my freshman year of high school, you'd have thought I was a bum. Like that I had like issues.
You were at the encampment?
I had a shaved head with no hair, and I would wear nothing but hoodies and sweatpants. I would wear like stained park grout fits of
grout sweat. Fits?
Job, yeah. If somebody in the public, let's say you guys are juniors in high school and you see a kid walking down the hallway and he wore the same outfit every single day, what would you guys
that
think?
That happened. That absolutely happened. I saw kids that would wear the same thing every day, every time I saw them. And
see,
every
like,
now
for
and then
us,
might
that
switch.
Was just normal. Like we had to wear the same
you
thing.
You knew that this
day.
Kid was definitely impoverished.
But you weren't wearing the same
degree.
Shirt every week.
I mean, I had three of them. They would rotate, but they were the same color. It was the same shirt.
Do we have to wear? What did you wear?
We had
I can't remember.
The spring and in the fall. So there's four quarters, right? A spring and a fall, and then two winter quarters. You would spring and fall was a polo, either a maroon polo or a white polo.
No, we didn't have that.
We were always just straight button down.
And then in the winter were buttons.
Maroon.
Did you always have to wear a tie?
No, we didn't have to wear a tie.
So we were maroon and gray tie, gray pants, white button-down shirt.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to wear like Dewey Finn, like Ned Schneebly shorts, like dressed shorts?
We didn't. Well, we had to wear pants.
No, we were pants.
Never got to wear shorts.
The dress down days were the best.
They were the best.
Got to
they
put on jeans, t-shirt.
You felt, but you, did
you,
you
felt
all,
like a you felt hey listen in the Catholic school system when there was a dress down day you got to come in with jeans some tennis shoes
that's
a t-shirt
a whole new feel.
Oh
it's a big
felt,
deal
you
really
felt
is.
Like
it's
a dog and did they make you guys pay to do dress down days sometimes we had to give a dollar for
actually
like
you know what I think
it was,
you're right I think we did have to do something like that I heard, went to like a charity or
yeah,
went to
yeah,
something.
Right.
Like,
you felt like an absolute beast when
I
you
had
to,
I heard up. I heard a story that you had to go shave
who
you
I mean, yeah, if I show up with a beard, I got to go shave. They give you a razor. You go to the bathroom.
You go honest, shave it all?
Mr.
Yeah.
Duffy.
Really?
Well, you had Mr.
Yeah.
Duffy, right?
I had
you
Mr.
didn't
Duffy.
Have
Coach
Mr.
Young
Duffy.
Made me go shave. It was awesome.
So if you had a shadow if your hair touched your collar. They still did the girls thing from a standpoint. They measured skirts by their hands went down. Did you have a nun? We did.
Did you have a nun?
He probably had way more than I did.
Wait, when you say way more, like how many were in the school?
Boy, there's a lot more than there are now. I couldn't tell you, Sue, but I probably had at least three of them that taught.
Well, you probably had Sister Flo.
Yeah.
You probably had.
Now, Sister Ethelrita would sub sometimes. She was old back then. I know she's.
Did you just have one?
No, we had. I want to say we had about three, but I had more in Catholic grade school. We had a principal that was a nun. We probably had four at Corpus
Who was
Christi.
Your principal?
We had two. Sister Carmela.
Yeah.
She was an awesome lady. Yeah. And then Sister.
We used to have Sister Augustus.
Let me guess, she was mean. She's a bitch.
She was mean.
We had one that was mean. Sister Carmela was phenomenal, loving, nurturing. The other one we had was a little. She was. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any like burly?
The one we had was burly. The other one.
I mean, she'd have probably been a.
What were some of the
guard?
Yeah,
she was not on the basketball team, on the football.
She was
team.
A grappler.
Yeah, my mom had too.
My mom had nuns when she was at Bishop Donahue.
But your mother was to act as like. Those nuns would like beat her.
She said they were so mean. She said they were the meanest.
What were some of the punishments that you would get? Isn't it just hands on the desk with the ruler? That's what
I just talked about this last week.
I was always well behaved, so I never had.
Okay, my mom said she got paddled. My mom said she got paddled once, and I'll tell you right now, whoever the nun is, paddle my mother. I hope. I tell you, you ain't up there.
Why?
Down there.
That was kind of the way of the world. I'm not saying it was right. I mean, I know. My good buddy in third grade, man, he went home with welts from a fucking
ruler on
the back of his bag. And actually, our eighth grade, and I hate to even mention his name because he's a good man, but I'm gonna call his ass out. Joel now, my eighth grade year, he made no exaggeration, made us kneel on fucking chalk and hold Bibles out.
That's fucking
wow.
Do you honestly think that's normal, though?
It will
set the tone real fucking.
But yeah, I mean, I know.
You like it's but, like a discipline thing. You know what I mean? Do I agree with it? Probably not.
Now, I think that is like it. There are definitely
it's
some of the.
Absurd.
I'll say there.
Yeah, that's a little much.
I guarantee you, if you got to sit down one on one with the people that made you do that or like hit you, like whoever sent home with welts, I guarantee you they were praying for somebody to come in and fuck with them so that they could do that. I guarantee.
Wait,
you.
What do you mean?
Like some of those nuns or whoever would whack
they were hoping.
I bet they came to work and they were like, no, get here, have my cup of coffee. I hope somebody pisses me off today so I can get the ruler
out. Or my wife, she fucking pissed me off, so I'm going to take it out on
Or like he probably came out and said, honey, I beat the shit out of him today, man.
I don't think the physical like discipline and enforcing that was probably the best way. And I don't even know if it is the best way now. But, like, the worst thing that I ever saw, we were in second or third grade, and a teacher made one of our kids, like, he was talking in the middle of class. He had to go stand in the back of the class with his tongue out for, like, 45 minutes.
See, I think if you can embarrass a kid, I feel like it's better. Because at that age, you're all based on how cool you are. Like, if you're the cool cat, then if you get embarrassed, I think you turns you on your head.
Are parents. How do you teach a lesson to a kid that's in between, like, kindergarten or fourth grade? You just tell them multiple times? Or, like, do some kids listen better than others? Like, how do you, if you were a teacher, well, you guys sent your kids to schools, how would you want the teachers to discipline your kid if they're acting up or not listening?
I think that's truly at the end of it. And I'm not saying physical is a good thing, but I think at the end of the day, that is part of the problem now because there's zero fear. I mean, I'll take it one step further. Our freshman year at Central, they had the desk that Central probably still has them where you sit in and it's still connected.
It's one thing. It's so tiny. I tried to take my ACT on that,
those
little desks. I was like this trying to take my ACT. Hey, that's probably why I got a 14 on it.
Being left-handed, I got fucked over. And the ACT, number one, the desk is like this big. And with your right arm, at least you can lay it on the desk.
Yeah.
I'm like hunched over top of the desk trying to do it with my left hand. Fuck whoever invented those.
But here's the deal. That my freshman year, and I'm not saying it's right, Sue, because you are probably right. There's a balance. How's that sound? There's a balance. But my freshman year, one of the teachers, you probably had him. You definitely didn't have him. He fucking picked some kid up, desk and all. And no, this is zero exaggeration. That poor fucker got thrown against the wall.
In the desk.
Swear to God on my mom and dad's
grave. You
know
what that reminds me of?
How old was he?
Freshman year.
Listen,
but
that,
here's
that's
the deal.
A 14-year-old getting picked up at
the
desk
tone,
and chucked
because everybody else is
getting
going,
chucked across the room.
Who the hell threw him?
Actually, I don't. Do you have Terry Williamson?
No.
Terry he had to be a big
strong.
He was a big motherfucker. I mean, he was fucking. He played college basketball.
You know what that reminds me of? The Matilda scene when she like is trying to. She throws the girl through the window, and Matilda makes the girl fly like right back in.
That's a good movie. But yeah, here's the deal. I think that that's the problem now with school. I think at the end of the day, nobody has a fear factor of the teachers, and they have no leg to stand on. They can't do anything anymore. Making a kid stand with his tongue out anymore, that the kid would laugh at you. That wouldn't be a big deal. And I agree with you. I think a lot of it is insulting them, the cool kid or whatever. I don't think kids really give a flying fuck anymore. They sit there with their tongue out for 45 minutes and it wouldn't even be a big deal anymore.
You probably wouldn't be able to do it because if I don't know what the rules are with cell phones in class, but you know, people would probably video it and just laugh about it, and it'd turn into a comedy scene.
So, I think if I was a number one, I think there should definitely be like a limit. Like if a kid surpasses like a certain level of disrespect, then not necessarily do I think he should get the shit beat out of him. Like, but I think there should be some sort of hard. I don't know what that would be because I don't know if hitting anybody is necessarily a solution for anything. But there has to be some sort of like I don't know, maybe getting your knuckles hit is a good deterrent for something.
Well right, and there's different ways to go about it, I guess, and everybody has a different opinion. But how do you go about starting it or stopping it before it starts and gets out of hand? So you start out, okay, the school year starts in September, and you hear about, oh, this kid, I heard he's kind of a wise guy, smart ass, and then he starts to do that, then you know what you got in this guy. So what do you do to stop it? Because otherwise you let it go. And
I've thought about this so much because there's always, like we're talking about, like that other part of you like that's deep down there somewhere. A part of me's always wanted to be a teacher.
I have so much respect for all of our friends that are teachers. I don't know how they do it.
Because I've heard some horror stories.
Here's my thing about, I think you said the embarrassing thing. Growing up in the school system I was in, there was never any physical, like, physical, not in the age we are in, but when you're embarrassed by a teacher in front of everyone else, you learn your lesson and snap your finger. Yeah. You don't do it again. I mean, it's true. Like if they call you out or if they make you go do something or you get a detention while everyone else is out on a field trip and you don't get to go, it's like you won't make that mistake again.
And we always talk about parenting. I think that number one is the root of everything. Like if you have a kid that's being an asshole, you got to look beyond the curtain and see what's going on the other side, because there are kids that I know for a fact, just of what I've heard, like the horror stories of behavior from school now, there are kids that just don't care. Mm-hmm. Like they're just kids that don't give a fuck about anything. And there are kids that like – and especially back when I was in school, there were kids that you could take a certain exam and just get out of, you just end your career, like your education. Like as long as you pass that, you get a GED, is that what's called?
Mm-hmm.
And there are kids that just wouldn't do their work. They would go, like no homework would get done, especially freshman year when you're lumped in with everybody, because then you kind of split off and go.
With the kids now, obviously, the only reason I think I can even talk about this a little bit is because we're close to their age. But I think it's a more respect thing right now than it's ever been, because those kids, if they respect their authorities or their teachers, they listen. Because, for example, we have this friend that's a teacher at a public school system in the southern part of West Virginia. He was in a meeting with all the principals, all the other teachers. He said he always sits in the back because they just complain and they don't ever really get to where they need to go. They have a problem in their school right now of kids using their cell phones in the classroom, and the teachers really can't do anything about it. Public school system, like there's a rule, but they can't take their phone from them, right? So they're asking, they're trying to figure out ways to do it. One teacher says, well, how about we just make the school a non-cell phone zone? Like we ask the county to shut off the cell phone in the entire school, right? It wouldn't work. Someone has to be able to call out if something's wrong. And they asked him in the back, they say, what would you do? And he said, well, I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when the kids enter the classroom, why don't we just ask them to stay off their phones? Like when they get into the class. And if the kids respect you, they're going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But there's still things I can honestly say that are still ingrained in me that I learned from a very young age. And I'm not saying it's a Catholic thing by no means, but like something that still to this day that bothers me is being a professional man. If somebody's up in front of me talking, you shut the fuck up. It's pretty simple. Just a sign of respect. If somebody, and if somebody has the forum, I guess is what I'm saying. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry, but if there's a reason why you're sitting and somebody's in front of you talking. I'll never forget like when we were young, man, when an ambulance went by. Did you have Sister Mary Brown at Corpus Christi? You had to have Sister Mary Brown at Corpus Christi.
I remember if I didn't, then, well, no, it wouldn't be my kids. But I'm familiar with who she was.
But the moral story is we were one day getting ready to go to recess, and ambulance went by, and we were all making the ambulance sound. And still, and she literally lit us all up. Like, instead of making the ambulance sound, how about not say a silent prayer for the persons in the back?
Yeah, we were supposed to say a prayer. Right. Something.
Like, and I'm not saying, because I'll be honest, I haven't sat in a church pew for a really long time. But there is things, man, that I just remember distinctively as a young. But it would be hard-pressed for us to ask kids nowadays, did you have anything instilled in you when you were young? And they would be able to spout out, I'm 46 years old and still remember that shit. And that's a problem. That's,
and Jeff,
that's a problem.
And I'm going back to what you said there. I can't remember when it started, but it was ingrained in us that whoever, whether it's, because I remember Coach Skip Prosser was, when we did basketball, when he was in front of us, you shut the fuck up. And I remember that even when they would when they were in front of the class, you sat there and you shut up and you paid attention. And
that was the expectation. There was no veering.
And we'll have sales meetings sometimes at work, and there'll be, you know, whether it's somebody from our company or a vendor coming in and doing a presentation, and you got like two or three people over there. I want to just get up and say, shut the fuck up and listen to this person.
I just don't know how you do it.
Like,
you
start comfortable.
I agree with that.
It drives me nuts.
It used to irk me so bad when we would be in school and like a teacher would be starting a lesson or something, or we'd be in an assembly hall out in the gymnasium, and people in front of you or behind you are just yapping, like just going back and forth. Like, or we would go to certain performances at the Performing Arts Center, and they would do like little plays or orchestras and stuff. And people wouldn't stop talking. I never understood that. I never, even if you don't like the thing, just have the
respect.
Yeah,
that's
just
it.
Have
that's
the respect to be quiet. Like,
that's,
I don't,
the problem. If you don't like it, that's right. If you take a nap, but just shut up.
Yeah, just go do, or like, ask if, I don't even know what you could do, but just shut up. Focus, like, you can talk to your friends all day. You can do whatever the fuck you want all day, especially nowadays with your phone. That never, and that's another thing which I think is, we're talking about what is replacing that with being talking is being on your phone while that pisses me off too. Like, if we were at somewhere and we're in a meeting and somebody's presenting and I see two people on their phone like doing that, that pisses me off so bad. Especially if it's not like a super serious situation. This person's just trying to explain something and you can't keep your attention. That irks me big time. But one of the things that you had said was like just respecting your teachers. And that's probably from the benefit of my parents. I always respected, until a teacher gave me a reason to not respect them.
Well,
I always went in with the respect level to the teacher. And with that, I always looked at teachers as if they were a human being. I always loved having conversations with teachers. Like, I would always go in, always made sure to ask about how they were doing and how their family was doing. And like ask if, like, one of my teachers had a kid. I remember vividly them having a son like the year before. So I'd always ask about the kid, and we would talk and hang out. And I don't think people do that anymore. I don't think kids
do
that anymore.
Well, Joe, we were taught, even if we didn't agree or agree with them, we had to respect them at least.
Yeah.
Like, we had to show up and still go to class. Yeah. Like, and even if we were not agreeing with them or upset with the teacher, we didn't have a choice.
There was a really cool story I heard. There was a teacher, and one of the students would come in. He just wouldn't do his work, never did his homework, it was failing the class. And one day the teacher goes up to him and says, you know, what's going on? And the kid's just like, I just don't care. I just don't want to be here. He said, and the teacher goes, well, what do you want to do? Like, what is it you want to do? And the kid always was like doodling in class. Like, he would always doodle in class. And the kid said, well, I want to be a tattoo artist. And the teacher was like, well, why don't you just go do it? Like, why don't you just, you're wasting your time here. Why don't you just go do what you want to do and go be a tattoo artist? And the kid was like, I never really thought I could do that. Like, I didn't know I could do that. Next day, kid didn't come to class. He drops out of high school, goes to be a tattoo artist, and is super successful in that field. And the guy, like, caught up with him and learned about him. He's you know, apprenticed at a tattoo shop, opened his own tattoo shop. Great. To me, I think if you don't want to be there, if you have a certain thing
that
you want
to
do.
That's credit to that teacher, though.
Yeah, I guess so. That's also
because you got a good teacher is going to, and I don't want to say micromanage, but you almost can see, like, okay, this kid's going to be really good at math. Let's try to almost get him into engineering. This kid's a really good athlete, but they like to lead. Maybe business would be good for them, or maybe, you know what I mean? And, like, the credit to that teacher for
for helping push that kid.
Did you guys have specific favorite teachers like back? Do you vividly remember anybody?
Sister Mary Brown was one of mine. 100%.
I just had when I went in for my hive checkup. Her name is Dr. Abby Crummett, who is the daughter-in-law of one of my favorite teachers of all time, Mrs. Sherry Crummett. I hope she doesn't mind me saying her name. She was phenomenal. She was such a down-to-earth. She was funny. But the thing with her is, if she got pissed, she was the best at reaming. You better watch out. And I always used to tell her, if I'm in the same room as you, when you get pissed off, I get terrified because I don't even want to be around you when you're mad. But she was so nice. She was funny. She always was nice to us. And I see her every now and then. It's great. But there's one teacher that I had. I just want a quick story, and then I'll stop Bogarting the mic, as Ned Schneebly says.
Yeah.
There was a teacher in high school that was really – he was like – to me, when I first had him, I thought he was weird. I'm not going to say his name because he actually owns a business here in Wheeling, which, like, if I tell you, you'd know, you probably wouldn't know who he is, but you definitely know the bit. We actually mentioned it before in the show. He was like he's a weird – everybody thought he was weird, and he, like, would act weird, and he would do things like – he was very reminiscent of my dad, how he acts to people that he knows he's like, smarter than, that are the people that are stupid, and he knows he can fuck with them. And he would act like that all the time, and I just thought he was weird for a little bit. And then I started catching on that he knows that, like, he can be weird and fuck with people and get away with it because he's a smart guy, he's a normal guy, right. But he can be weird and fuck with these kids and get away with it, with these kids just thinking he's a weirdo. And I caught on to it one time because he had done something, and then I caught him talking normal and, like, saying something to another student. And one day I went up to him, and I just said, you know, I'm on to you. No, I was like, I get it.
Hey, jumps like Sherlock Holmes, like, yeah. trying to figure out who this guy is and stuff.
I was, and he ended up being one of my favorite teachers, and I actually have a picture of him on my Facebook. It was like one of the first pictures I ever have on my Facebook. So if you know, have me on Facebook, I have a picture with him because I met him downtown near where he works. And ever since I found out how he was getting away with being like fucking around with these kids because these kids are too stupid to pick up on it. Mm-hmm. I loved him for it because he reminded me of my dad, how mm-hmm. he could just get away with all the stupid shit that he would say, and people thought he was weird or, like, being mean or stuff, where in reality he's just being a normal guy that is probably smart enough and normal enough to be able to get away with it. And ever since then, I was like, I got you.
What was his reaction when you called him out?
He knew. He was like, yeah. Yeah, he knew. He knew. But he's such a good dude. He was one of my favorites.
I get 2 points to that before I forget. So I do think that there's always been bad people. But I do think that there's more bad people now than there's ever been. In my personal opinion, I'm not saying I'm right. But a person of authority meant something at one point in time. And I think at the end of the day, as kids, we were always taught to respect the person of authority, whether it be the teacher, the police officer, the priest, whatever the case might be. So I think that has changed a little bit. But also the second part to my statement is, I think people back in the day, and this goes for every profession, whether you're a nurse, administrator, school teacher, people back in the day, they looked at it as a profession and they took it serious that it was a profession. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, most people just look at it as a fucking job and I get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's where...
I mean, that's how we feel for a lot of things.
Without a doubt. And I'm not, unfortunately. And I'm not saying sometimes I'm not guilty of that, but I'm saying I think that is what also has changed. So to the teacher aspect, and this isn't a knock on teachers because medicine has it too. Nurses, people go into nursing not because of the love of people. They go in because it's a nice fucking paycheck. Teachers, I think back in the day, people looked at it as a profession. They wanted to change kids' lives. They wanted to see kids prosper. Now a lot of times, so there's not a vested interest, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And I think that's where things have changed a little bit.
I think there's so many, at least for the kids our age right now, there is a massive difference between our jobs and what we want to do for our careers.
Fair.
And I just think it might be different now, but we have so many different opportunities. But you're right. I mean, what you just explained is exactly how I feel, exactly how a lot of us feel.
I definitely felt like when I was a kid in school, like a teacher felt like they genuinely loved what they did.
Genuinely loved teaching people.
And if they could see the results of their efforts when kids would go on to bigger and better things, knowing that, hey, I taught that kid for 3 or 4 years or whatever, and, yeah. and having a sense of pride.
Thank goodness, Jubb, we had teachers like that, because now, like, after we get done school, we get to work these jobs. Like, I love my job now, and I love, like, getting to do different stuff that I want to do for my career. I'm afraid that the kids now aren't going to run into a lot of teachers like that.
Yeah.
That aren't going to feel the same way, so.
And that's sad. Yeah. It really is sad.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, because you should have that moment. You should have that moment in life where somebody made a difference in your life that maybe made you steer a little bit of a different pathway, or a favorite teacher that maybe, I mean, for that kid that wasn't a school kid, which is perfectly fine. We push college education way too much anymore.
You seriously do not need it.
So the kids like that, I mean, at the end of the day, for, like you said, Sue, for the teacher to be able to identify that as a human being, that school's not going to be that kid's thing, and you push him in the direction that he wants to go and show that type of support, that truly, at the end of the day, what life is all about, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that if you know what you want to do and you're willing to put the time in by yourself to do it, I don't think there's much that education can offer you as far as specifically into a certain area of work. Like, if you want to be, if you want to be a tattoo artist, unless you want to go all the way through school, go through illustration school, what you need as a tattoo artist is to be with a tattoo artist and work in that field. Same thing with, like, in the crafts trade, which people that want to do that, God bless them, because I could never be that person to go into, like, welding and go into stuff like that, which Mike, our cousin Mike, he's opened up his shops mm-hmm. now. I mean, he's buying buildings and, you know, opening up his own business and doing, making probably more money than I'll ever see. But, like, I think once you figure out, and I think what I never really had in school was a dedicated time to be like, what do you want to do? What is it you want to do coming out of this? It was always a shotgun blast of, let's learn math, let's learn art, let's learn music, let's learn history, let's learn this. Where it was never a, even when we got into college, it wasn't, hey, you know, I'm here to help you figure out what you want to do. Let's narrow down what really makes you enjoy life, what you really want to go after. And, I mean, by the time I was a sophomore in college, I already had switched my major. I still wasn't, you know, exactly thrilled on what I wanted to do. And I think there's not enough people that are a teacher that, at least now, that has been like, hey, if you have an idea what you want to do, go do it. Figure out what you want to do. Grab onto it, especially if you love to do it, and go do it. I never really ran into that, but my teachers were always very supportive of, like, I loved art, and all my teachers were like, hey, you're really good at this. Keep trying, keep going at it, keep doing it. And I think that's probably why I went the direction that I went in. But I don't think there's, especially with what we were talking about teachers that love what their job was, I don't think you see a lot of the personal interaction between teacher and student now. I mean, I could be wrong, but yeah, I don't know.
Kind of sad.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
I got
really
one other question about respect and when you're growing up and things. And Jubb, I saw this firsthand with you, and I can tell it was probably instilled with Soup and Jeff as you were growing up. But I remember all the time, and it starts at the home, is your dad would always make you address somebody by their first name.
Always.
And to me, and then when I would see young kids growing up and they would address me by my name, whether Mr. Pavlik or Chris, whatever, that meant something to me. I just thought it was a good thing, it'd be like, man, they got good parents. And they're, to this day, Jeff, I don't know what it's like maybe when you're growing up and some of the, or maybe your neighbors or people that you know that are still alive, maybe in their age. Because there's a few ladies that lived on the street where I grew up are still alive. I still call them Mrs. I would feel weird calling them by their first name. Now, they probably wouldn't mind if I did, but it's just a respect thing. That's how we grew up, and I always liked that. And I mean, your dad, Jubb, busted your and Jared's balls, and then I would do it with my kids too. Like, okay, like if I just introduced Jeff to Emily, that's Mr. Doyle or Jeff, whatever. Oh, hi. And then I'd see what you're – and hi what? Hi who? Like, you don't just say hi, you address them by their name, yeah. Whether you want to go by Jeff or Mr. Doyle. And it's just a little thing, but I think things like that mean so much.
And now that I'm older, it really irks me when somebody says hi to me and says, hey buddy, hey guy.
When they know your fucking name. Yeah, like, all the time. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, bud? That pisses me off. I want to just say, you know what? Don't hey, start the conversation.
Do that
this is over.
One time, Soup. Next time, say, like, what's up, buddy?
Right. Hey, buddy.
And Cooley sometimes does it, like, not Cool's, in a malicious way,
right.
But, like, he'll call me like Bubby or Buddy or and I'm like, and maybe it's just because of that, but especially for people that just come up to me and start the conversation that way. Hey, what's up, bud? Or hey, what? Or if I say, hey, Tom, what's going on? Not anyway, nobody's named Tom that has done this to me. But I go, hey, Tom, what's going on? And he goes, hey, what's up? That pisses me off. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm not talking to you. I don't want to talk to you. I have nothing to say in this conversation.
Well, but, I can live firsthand because we moved up to our house when these cats were five. And you are not wrong. Literally every time, if they even caught glimpse of the Doyles walking out of the household, hey, Jeff. Hey, Cheryl.
Always.
And I agree with your statement, dude. There would be not a prayer shot in hell now that if I still to this day, the people that I went through grade school with and I see their parents, I have a better chance of Jesus coming down and bless me than I would call them by their first name.
Oh, yeah. They're getting
ever. They're always getting Mr. and Mrs. Always.
Do you start that off like if you meet somebody? I guess it's now a little different, you know, because you're on the same playing field with a lot of adults. But like an older individual, do you always Mr. and Mrs.?
No, like, not now.
Yeah.
You mean someone I've just met?
Yeah, because
I just go back to the people when I was a little kid.
Me too.
Growing up.
That's fair. Yeah, 100%.
But no, now. Yeah. But I would always use her. Like, if I met somebody now, I'd say, hi, Jim, or whatever.
Like, perfect example. We've never met Derek's parents, right? Like,
yeah.
If I was five and I knew Derek's parents, they'd be Mr. and Mrs. But if I met them now, I'd address them by their first name.
Yeah,
that's
right, a good point.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. When I met Hannah's parents for the first time.
Well, that's tough because you're at a weird age right now.
And I was like, I know that other people around them call them by their first names, but like out of respect, number one, I'm dating their daughter, so I'm not going to be like, hey, what's up? Like, you know, say their name. So I said Mr. and Mrs. Larkey, which is their last name. And, I always love it. It always does make me feel good, though, when you say that. And then, like, don't fucking call me that.
Yeah.
My name's such and such.
Call me
don't
Mark.
Call me that.
Yeah.
You make me feel old. Like.
My ex-in-laws did that, too, when I dressed them by Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Don't do
it
that.
It always – it made – instantly, I was like, okay, I feel okay. I'm okay.
But,
I'm good.
But, Jeff, I just brought that up because you say, like, things that were instilled in you when you're young. That's something that always stuck.
But here's the deal. That's another lost art, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, that's true. I guarantee most parents that are starting out right now are not instilling that in their kids. Guarantee. I don't want to make that a cookie cutter statement, but I guarantee the percentages are not more than they are, without a doubt.
No doubt.
I talk to Hannah all the time. I'm like, manners are. And at the time when I was a kid, I probably didn't. And my dad always said, one day you're gonna look back.
He wasn't wrong.
But like, you know. The first thing that would absolutely be taught is manners, basic
manners.
My
mom and dad,
please and thank
you. Your head. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Please. Thank you. Hold the door. That stuff goes such a long way.
Please and thank you would be the, like, if you could teach anything, please and thank you to me are the two biggest things ever. If somebody said, if I pick something up and you ask me for, hey, can you hand me that pen? And I give it to you and you just grab it and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your thing, like what, right. And that. But if I hand you the pen, you go, hey, thanks. That means like, okay, we're on the same level. But when it irks me too, if a kid says, hey, give me a water. Hey, give me a pop.
I agree. You want to just say fuck you.
I tell you what. Do you talk about 0 to 100 real fucking quick?
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
0 to 100. But here's the other thing. The funny part about that, when it is instilled in you, like I guarantee the three of you guys right now, you don't even have to think about that.
No.
Right?
No.
Somebody does something for you.
You go out of your way to do it.
It's
sometimes.
A please and a thank you. Like it's not even like there's not even a thought process. Like if somebody does something for you, I'm even kind of cheesy in text. Like
there's sometimes
I say please and thank yous in text.
There's sometimes when I'm sending emails and I make sure I throw a please in there just because of being respected.
Every email I've ever sent, I end it with thank you.
Yeah.
Every email I sent, good to see you. Thanks again. My name. I'll tell you, not to toot my own manor horn here, but I was in Subway yesterday and the guy. You know, they ask you, do you want this?
I was thinking it's Subway because, never mind.
Not,
that has nothing to do with you, but
But I kept saying, the guy would ask me a question, and I would just say, yes, please, yes, please, yes, please. And I was getting to the point where I was saying it too much. Like, I felt like, okay, I'm getting it too much. But I feel like at the end of that conversation, the end of that interaction, he was like, you know, have a great day. You know, thank you. Have a great day.
Sets
and,
the tone.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I don't know. I feel
one
like.
One time, Cooley, he's not going to care that I tell this story.
Oh, this is a
you
great
know the story?
Story? Yeah, these are his typical Cooley-isms.
Okay, so Cooles was born like this, struggles to hear sometimes when people are talking, right? So we're going through Subway down in St. Pete, Florida, and Subway like randomly did this thing that at the end of the line, they would ask you, did we make your sandwich good today? And you would say yes, and they would ring this bell. It was really weird, but I go through, did I make your sandwich good today? Yes, they would ring it, right? Jarrett goes through, did we make your sandwich good today? Yes, rings the bell. Cooley goes through. He's like getting all of his stuff, doing through the line. He comes up. They say, did we make your sandwich good today? He says, huh? No. Because he thought they were asking, like, would you like another sandwich? And the cash register lady freaked out and rang the bell.
He does that all the time. And and obviously he can't help it. And we make fun of him all the time because he does it. Like the lady will come up and go, what would you like to drink, sir? And he'll just turn and go, no, thank you. And then go back to like our conversation. We'll have to go, no. And then, she asked you what you want to drink. And then, yeah.
Jubb was down there for this one. We like went out and got something to eat and then got beer. And then we were walking into the apartment. This lady, like this little old lady, like
I
was standing right next to her. And she said, she yelled up to them, like, hey, where'd you boys go to eat? And Cooley turns around and goes, Bud Light.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
oh, that
those
is
are
awesome.
His Cooley-isms.
I love that.
But you're right, though, about the please and thank you. You just don't know how good that can benefit people.
Yeah.
When you're teaching these young kids, I mean.
Even, like, with little things, like today, something happened with the car in front of me. It pissed me off, and this is kind of on a different lane than that. But, like, all I wanted to do, I don't think they turned their turn signal on or something. They jammed on their brakes. All I wanted to do was lay on the horn and scream out the window because I just, for some reason, it pissed me off. And then I didn't do that, and I was like, you know what? Maybe that was, like, an old lady that just was having a bad day, and she just is going to wherever she was. So I try to, like, think about, you know, the difference of what that would have done in their day. Because if it would have happened to me, and it happened to me, the guy honked me, like, flipped me off, said, you know what, you do whatever, it would really bother me. Because when I get yelled at or things happen to me, it sticks with me for a long time.
Right,
and it
right.
really bothers me. Mm-hmm. And I talked about last episode how authority scares the shit out of me. And if I break the rules or I break something, it terrifies me. But I try to.
That was like Jubb when something happened that we were in a building and we were on a floor trying to film. We were on a floor trying to film something and the filming was over. We were trying to get back downstairs into where we were. And we ended up on a floor where we were just trying to get downstairs and we were on somebody else's floor, right? There was a law office on this floor. This guy comes sprinting around this corner and says, why are you on my floor? And like, I hear it. The person next to me hears it. Jubb's like kind of the same distance away. But Jubb doesn't hear it.
No,
so.
I had the camera and the headphones on. And we had lavalier mics, so all I could hear was the audio coming from Soup
correct.
And Jared.
So we hear the guy, what are you doing on my floor? And we kind of just like look around, like waiting for somebody to answer. Jubb headphones off, walks up to this guy. Jubb's like this close to this dude trying to hear
him.
Well,
I had my ear off, and I'm like up to him because I can't hear.
And the guy turns and like, they're like this close. And the guy says, why are you so close to me right now? I seriously started laughing so hard because it was just completely random that this
we
guy,
weren't
just because you were trying to hear him.
Yeah, and I was just trying to hear him, and I think you might be exaggerating how close I was.
Jubb, you were nose to nose with the dude.
I don't think I was that close, but like that stuck with me for a couple days. I kept thinking about that for days. I was like, I didn't mean to piss this guy off, and he was. I'll just say we're not saying name, but he was weird anyway. But he said, why are you so close to me? And I was like,
I started cracking up and it was horrible. But
it would have been even better if you looked like you fucking talking to me.
Yeah, right. Right.
But he was like confidential information up on this floor. And we're like, oh, we were trying to film something and just didn't go that way. And he was like, well, you got to get off this floor right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left. But that kind of stuff sticks with me.
Hey, the past couple episodes or just however long, I mean, I know I haven't been on it in 30 some episodes.
Do we normally talk for an hour and a half now without taking any breaks?
Yeah,
yeah, we just talk and that's it. So yeah. We're about done. Already,
yeah, it's know? We're wrapping up now. Wrapping up. Any last thoughts? Any,
how do we wait? How did we just do that? I mean, I haven't done one in 30 episodes, but is this really what happens now? Is
yeah, because it's just conversation. I feel like we're good enough to move into different topics, and yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Went on this note, favorite combo.
Wow.
Paper combos.
The snack.
Well, I just, that new one came out, the ranch.
Buffalo Ranch?
Yeah.
Do you like ranch
flavors? Can I look up
stuff?
Flavors real
no,
quick?
No, not as much. No. I always like the pizzeria one.
Yeah, my
but
dad there,
but there's
that.
None that I dislike.
Fair. And actually, that would be where I'd be in life. Actually, I probably would not turn down a combo.
Jeff said that he went, at, like, if he was after a bar and he stopped at a gas station, that was a snack
it
that
was a
he
snack,
would get.
100%
of what's your snack? If you came out of a bar, you had a little couple to drink, you come out of the gas station, and you could pick one snack, what do you pick? I have an idea.
Now, are you talking about I'm done drinking for the night?
Done drinking. Yeah. You're getting ready to go home, and you're getting ready to grab that snack, and you're going to go face fuck it because you're stuck.
Oh, shit. Well, if I was – the snack that I would go to if I was drinking, it would be an Andy Cab hot fry.
And oh, those are good.
Hold on, but a clarification. You're saying when you're done still, or you're saying as you're still actively drinking, starting to get
drinking,
a little munchy.
Right.
And you're,
those are good.
Because now you caught me off guard with the post-drinking. So, I don't know. It's something I like now. There's it's a Cheez-It, not the Duos, Grooves. Cheez-It Grooves.
Those are good.
Those are really good.
Those are good.
I like those.
Boy,
before I answer that question, what's your favorite cheddar your combo?
I agree with Chris that the fact that I wouldn't turn down a combo.
No.
But probably the
cheddar cheese. Me too. Yeah. Those are so good.
Yeah, I love the pizza. I like the Buffalo Ranch now are legit.
So yeah.
The
yeah.
ones that I probably dislike the most, what are those? Those are probably my least
nacho
favorite.
Cheese?
No, those are the cheddar.
No, that's nacho.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So the ones that I probably at least like, but I would still eat them was just the plain cheddar ones. That don't even. Mm. I don't even think they have salt on the outside, if I'm not mistaken.
It's just like smooth. Oh yeah, you're right because they're not pretzels, are
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're not pretzels. No. Yeah.
They're like crackery. Mm.
Yes,
they're still right. good, but they're probably my least favorite. Yeah. So what you're saying, cheddar cheese?
Yeah, cheddar cheese.
And you're not a big fan, you said.
I don't really eat them, but the ones I do like are the pizzeria ones.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
I like goldfish too.
Goldfish are
simple,
good.
Simple snack.
What do you grab snack wise?
It's unbelievable. Peanut butter and jelly.
It's, oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
What, is it like an Uncrustable?
Yeah, an Uncrustable from Sheetz. Oh, dude. That after the bar or that out on a lake, like when it's hot out and a frozen peanut butter and jelly. Oh, my gosh.
That's good shit, man.
That's unbelievable.
It's a delicacy.
A frozen peanut butter and jelly with a cold beer.
For the first time.
It's unbelievable.
Ooh, I don't know about the beer.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
Something might be wrong.
I
got to
go with milk if I'm having that.
Wait. With the peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, that's.
I was hoping it wasn't milk and beer.
So actually, so I know, because everybody's a water fan, and we can end on this note. But are you, like, after a night at the bar, and you've done your damage, you put in your shift, you punched in, you punched out, and you grabbed your snack, are you cool with the water then? Or, like, do you need something a little bit more flavorful to be able to munch
you
down
know what?
The combo?
That's a hell of a question because there are certain things that I will not drink water with.
I'm in the same boat. Especially that time of night, man, like water would be mundane.
Like to me, I think if I had like just say a small bag of chips and was drinking water, to me that's the worst thing ever.
Really?
I would agree with you. Now here's
like,
what I would
want
say.
Like iced tea.
Oh, that's so dumb. Just drink the water.
No.
The crazy part about that, I would have like a Sprite with my snack, but then I would probably crush a water afterwards just because I don't want to be hungover the next day.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But as far as the flavor combination of them, no,
I agree.
Do you guys have any tricks? Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, but like you, if you're going to eat a bag of chips, you won't drink a water with it.
Well, I mean, if that's all I have,
but
yeah.
Like if you have the option, you would not.
No.
I agree with Chris.
No.
100%. What do you like? Like a Diet Coke or like a what?
Usually unsweet tea.
Man, I am the opposite way. I hate drinking flavored stuff with my food. I don't like that at all.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like it makes me feel
like if I'm going out to eat and then my entree, I usually always have water. But I'm talking about a snack like that.
I don't like drinking anything.
Do you guys have any tricks right now okay, you're going really hard throughout the day drinking. Do you have any tricks not to be hungover the next day that's been working for you recently? I think I found one.
I don't buy any of that bullshit.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you do?
I think the only thing you can
not
do
to be hungover.
You just go to bed?
I just deal with it.
Muscle through.
Yeah. I think the only thing you can do is drink water. That's it.
Drink
and
water.
And I think eat. I think eat before
listen
going to
me.
Bed.
I think no matter how hard we go, if you can get 3 glasses of water and stay up for 2 hours and eat, I think it just goes away. Like, I'm not saying you. I don't nearly sober up at all. I end up falling asleep, but the next morning you feel fine. I'm serious. I think that's the thing.
Golden ticket.
Everybody always says that, you know, stay hydrated.
I've taught, like, a couple PAs that we know, they just say all that, like, what's that shit you can get and put in your...
Liquid IVs?
Like, they say that all it is just, I mean, hydration. It's just like drinking a Gatorade.
Yeah, it's like Ace would always tell me to drink, what's that thing that you always give to kids when they were dehydrated?
Oh, Pedialyte?
Yeah, drink that. But I don't know. But
yeah.
But Jeff, the last thing, and then I'll be done. If it's not a snack that I'm eating, my go-to would always be pizza.
Cool. I get that.
After drinking.
It's good stuff.
Real healthy, and then you go to bed.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, the punch in and punch out after 8 hours wasn't healthy beer. it's all good. You might as well top the evening off the right way, right?
Yeah. All right, so last thing. Let's go around just a snap answer here. So let's
Doritos.
All say-
Fusion. Hibachi,
what,
rice.
Another one.
So, all right.
Chicken.
Doritos.
You had a drinking fest for the day. You're not beyond redeemable, but you're
redeemable.
You're on the verge of black, like getting, you're finished. But you're in that sweet spot where food sounds unbelievable.
Oh, man.
What's your go-to food?
It has to be pizza. I mean, your dad goes to McDonald's sometimes. I think that's disgusting. I'm pizza.
Yeah.
I'm pizza.
Wow, McDonald's is so good. Boneless honey barbecue wings. Oh, my gosh. Feed them to me.
I'm sorry, I gotta break this down. The reality of it is I'm probably not eating food. I'm probably eating more of that shit because I'm not making something after doing an 8 hour shift.
Yeah, right.
I'm not like
calling a drinking an 8 hour shift is unbelievable.
Well, and that's actually not a good thing by no means.
Yes, it is.
Think about it. For the Waterfront Fest, we're putting in an 8 hour shift.
We think about the Pine Room. We put in a 12 hour shift.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I'd probably go with Chris too. It'd probably be a pizza if I was going to sit down, but it would hands down be chips and that kind of stuff because I'm not taking the time.
Can
to
I guess yours?
Go ahead.
Tacos.
No.
Wait, let me guess. Burger. Let me guess.
Too much
work. Burger.
If it's not a burger from McDonald's, it's chicken nuggets from McDonald's. Hot chicken nuggets with fries from McDonald's. I eat them until I fucking puke.
You got out of breath.
I got so excited.
He said, I eat them until I puke.
Actually, last question then. The next day when you are hungover, are you guys a believer in the grease?
Ooh.
I think it works, but something is so satisfying about like recharging your body with healthy food and sweating.
I get
like,
that.
That's like
it's
my,
hard to
that's
do, though. It's hard to do.
And then you're fighting battles like your head hurts. And
is
like,
there any truth to that? Because I would do that. Like I'd go to Wendy's and get a burger or something.
I think it's just you feel like shit, so it makes you feel better.
That's it. I agree.
Well, hopefully our podcast made
Jub,
you feel better.
Jub, how do you think a Jack Brown's burger would do hungover?
It'd be it's my number one burger of all time, so it would just... I don't think I would be hungover. I think it would fix me.
What was
forever.
It called? The Cobra Kai when you were
Cobra
in North
Kai.
Carolina?
Best burger I've ever had. There you go. Shout out, Jack Brown's. Anyway, episode 104 of the Pioneer Podcast. Myself, Chris, Soup, and Jeff. We had a fun time. We talked some good topics. North Atlantic Beer Mile. Check it out. Waterfrontfest.com/fest. You can go to waterfronthall.com/fest. Go sign up right now. $10 for a regular ticket. $40 to participate as a solo runner. $100 for four people that want to run as a relay team.
I'm racing in it.
Everybody's going to be there. We're going to be commentating. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a fun time. But if we don't see you there, hopefully we'll see you next time in the Pine Room.
Peace.